Okay, so as May the 6th approaches here in South London, and more specifically in Vauxhall, what I think is key, what I think is really crucial, is that all of the electorate in South London really explore and get a chance to find out a lot more about all the candidates that are standing. Now, I've had specifically bits of literature not telling me a great deal locally about the three main candidates that I can vote for in Vauxhall. But if you look further down the ballot paper, there's more than just your usual Labour, Lib Dems and Conservatives. And that's why I'm very, very pleased I've got the chance to speak with a prospective parliamentary candidate this evening to find out a lot more about what kind of views he's putting forward and what kind of platform for people in Vauxhall. So first of all, please, kind sir, your name and who do you represent?
Thanks, Jason. I'm Jeremy Drinkle and I'm standing for the Anti-Capitalists in the Vauxhall constituency against Kate Hoey and the Lib Dems, the Green Party and the Socialist Party. The reason why we are standing here in Vauxhall is because basically the big capitalist crisis, the biggest crisis any of us have seen in our lifetime, means that this Labour government gave £1 trillion of our money, taxpayers' money, to the banks during the crisis. They said they were too important to fail, and now they say that we're in debt to somebody called the bond market. And because of that debt, we have to make the biggest cuts we've made since the 1980s, maybe even bigger than Margaret Thatcher, according to Alistair Darling. And we think that's a con. It's our money. We're not in debt, it's the banks who caused the crisis and they should pay for the crisis. So we want to take that £1 trillion back, take over the banks and use it to build the kind of things that we need as working class communities here in Vauxhall and across Britain. And that means 1 million new homes, jobs for the 2.5 million who are unemployed, a guaranteed college place for all the young people. Money to beautify and clean up the environment, to move away from fossil fuels towards renewables. That's the kind of programme that we want to put forward because we think that it's basically a con. Last night we saw on the television a debate about whether it should be £78 billion cuts or £80 billion cuts. That's not the option that's available. There is another option and they're fighting for it from Iceland down to Greece. And we think we should fight for it in Britain.
So under the ballot paper, it says that Jeremy is standing as the anti-capitalist candidate. Is it worth exploring, please, a bit more about the particular party, what the background is, what the future is, maybe the backers as well for the party? What is the structure, please, for the anti-capitalist party?
The anti-capitalist at the moment is got more of a future than it has of a background. We registered in order to stand in this election. And we are also supporting other candidates who are standing with the Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition. We've got about 42 candidates around the country. And there are other candidates, like in neighbouring Camberwell and Peckham, who've got Jill Mountford standing. And basically, the way we see it is that after this election, all of the people who are coming up to us and being enthusiastic about what we're doing in the area, we want to meet them, we want to help them organise a local organisation, and we want to plug that in to a national picture so that we can set up a new party so that the trade unions don't have to rely on Labour, where they put billions of pounds. Unite has spent £11 million over the last 3 years supporting Labour, and all they've got is kicks in the teeth when they're fighting to defend, for example, jobs, pay and conditions in Heathrow. So, it's a new force. The background is limited, but the future, I think, looks bright.
So it's very much a platform, I think, May the 6th for this party, who are using it really just to introduce people, to introduce ideas to the constituents around here. Have you got any specific aims, Jeremy? What do you think you could actually achieve on May the 6th? What's going to happen in Vauxhall in terms of the vote? Because what disappoints me, at the last election, it was a really risible 46% turnout here in Vauxhall, which is one of the lowest. And so Kate Hoey, the Labour candidate, got pretty much a shoo-in. And it's difficult to see anything different happening, I think, on May the 6th this year.
Yeah.
What do you think maybe could be your role at the ballot box this year?
I think our role is to try and get as many votes as possible to prove that we can break out of this mould of politics. Labour have taken it from the American situation, and it's called triangulation, where actually you don't see Labour Party candidates around Vauxhall at the moment. I haven't bumped into one. I've bumped into some Liberal Democrats, but no Labour. And they take the core vote for granted and make all their plays to the other parts of society, the rich and middle class, and prove that they're not actually going to tax them anymore, and they're going to be pro-business, and they're going to be Blair Plus, according to Mandelson. And triangulation rhymes with strangulation, and I think that's what, you know, happens to the working class, the core vote. So it's for the forgotten, for the millions, not the millionaires. That's our byline, and we're sticking with it, because I think it sums up, you know, what we're trying to do at the ballot box is, you know, get those people who've been disenfranchised because they've been alienated by all the main parties, and show them that, in fact, they shouldn't be despairing about politics. They should be trying to do politics in a new and different way, where they actually fight not just once every 4 or 5 years, but actually stay together and organise to fight against the rent hikes, 14% rent hike by Lambeth Council last year. We want to actually reverse that. We actually want people to say, yeah, we can do something about this. Maybe we can have a rent strike here in Lambeth and actually force a reversal of the policy. So that's the kind of thing. It's a people-centred thing, not voting for a representative and that's the end of it, but voting for a representative and fighting in the workplaces, on the council estates and so on.
Yeah, I think that's what I found, Jeremy, has been very disappointing here in Lambeth, is that my vote nationally seems to have been taken for granted, in that I've had nothing at all from my current sitting MP, from Kate Hoey in the Labour Party. I have seen Carolyn Pidgeon, who is the Lib Dem candidate. She's been walking around locally, and I've got a leaflet from her, so that's worth mentioning. The Greens have had nothing, apart from I've been following Joseph Healy on his blog, who has been active, I think, online, but my own personal disappointment is that he's not really addressed local issues. He's addressed things nationally, such as Palestine, Afghanistan, Iraq. Crucial issues, but I'm very much a local person. I want to find out what's happening locally. The Tory guy, nothing apart from along Fentiman Road, lots of blue posters. Yeah. So what I'd like to ask you is, like, locally, if people in Vauxhall vote for you, what kind of issues can you change for them actually here in Lambeth? So you mentioned housing.
Yeah.
What is your current view of the way that the local Lambeth Council have handled their Almo situation with the housing and the current crisis that Lambeth tenants are facing right now?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked that. Housing is probably, in my opinion, the top issue. If you haven't got somewhere to live, you can't get a job. If you're stuck in temporary accommodation, then you're in a poverty trap and you can't get off the benefits. And there are 4.5 million people on the housing list nationally, and yet Labour has built nationally 2,700 houses in 13 years. And I think that roughly is about 200 houses a year, which is astonishingly low. Look, 16,000 on the housing list in Lambeth. We want to increase, we want to build that many houses so that all of those people on the housing list can actually get a house in the next year. That's what we can do. We think that the ALMOs and the housing associations have been a disaster for the local community. I was talking to Kennington Park Tenants Association a couple of weeks ago, and they've got 40% increase in their service charge by Hyde, South Bank, and the tenants were up in arms. They said, with 40% increase in our service charge, we've got such low water pressure, we can't even get running water after 9 p.m. at night. It's ridiculous. And Thames Water, which also is another privatised utility, and Hyde, which is a privatised landlord, are, you know, batting the ball, saying we're not responsible, contact the other guy. You know, this is no good. We want to have state control. We want to have municipalisation of all the housing, and But also, we want tenants' control of how those housing estates are run.
But the answer would be from, I'm sure, from Labour-led Lambeth Council, although I hate to speak for them, but I'm sure they would say that it's all about funding. And the reason why they go down the Almo route is because they can't afford themselves to pay for their own housing. So what would your solution be, please? How would you actually fund your policy towards having more homes for local people?
It sounds simple, but the answer is tax the rich. Look, we had the cap in the 80s. We had dear old Ted Knight. But we had the cap put on how much rents, how much rates could be raised for businesses and on the rich. And the council tax is completely unfair. We would like to see a local wealth tax and actually the ability for councils to tax the local wealthy and the businesses in order to fund housing for the poor. If that was possible in the 60s and 70s, with all the improvement in technology, productivity, and the way that human society can make wealth, why is it not possible now? And the reason is that there's been a huge gap in the wealth, and the rich have got richer, and the poor, even during the boom of the noughties, the 2000s, the poor have got poorer. You know, it's absolutely outrageous. I think there is a solution.
Yeah, I think with this huge meltdown, basically, in housing in Lambeth, the local council, and I presume also the current sitting MP, have realised that this needs to be addressed, and their solution is like more cuts, and their solution is this John Lewis co-op style of government, which effectively means local people have a say in running their services, which sounds really good. I think that side of it is wonderful. More local people having a say in how things run locally. But my concern is about accountability and responsibility. And so you take away the council's accountability in terms of running houses and health and education, and you give it to local people. And then really that begs a question, why do we hold elections in the first place? So what are your views, please, Jeremy, on the whole mutualisation and the co-op model of local government?
Can I go back one step just for half a minute and then address that? Back one step half a minute, because I think Steve Reid has actually said that Lambeth Living, the ALMO, the Arms Length Management Organisation, that they turned the housing department into, that is a disaster. They're paying £1.5 million a year for 15 consultants. And then they've got the cheek to turn round and in their manifesto say that they want to give tenants the right to sack workers. Sack workers? I can think of 15 people I'd like to sack and then, you know, take that £1.5 million and invest in improving the local housing. And that brings me on to the second point, which is, you know, this idea has been around for a few years. It's been around in Brazil, it's been tried in Newcastle by the Labour Party up there. This idea that if you set the budget centrally and then devolve the management of how that budget is spent locally, then the tenants and the workers will simply say, oh goody, we've got, you know, £1.5 million less this year, but at least we know we can decide how to spend it. That is going to set a state against a state, area against area, and we don't want that. Actually, we want to have unity so that everybody can rise at the same time, that all the council estates, which are so amazingly different. I mean, I've been around estates where I thought this is nearly what, this is what socialism would be like. This has got roof gardens, it's got lovely courtyards, it's got children playing, it's got people looking out for each other. And then there's others which haven't had a lick of paint. I mean, Myersfield North, I know they're closing it down, but that hasn't had a lick of paint for years. It is a terribly run down estate, and I know some of the people who live on it, and they like it, and they've got a community spirit, but they're fighting against the odds all the time. And then there's other estates which have been looked after and are ideal. But, you know, I think that the idea that you have tenants or parents control over the services whilst centrally denying them the funds to actually run them in the way that would benefit all of the people who live there or whose children study in those schools is a recipe for further division. Actually, it's very close to the Tory party policy, isn't it? You know, the Tory party policy is we will let parents run their own schools. And you know, as a teaching assistant, I can tell you the schools in Lambeth would be far better off in general, as a whole, if you didn't have these selection policies which allowed for greater and greater differentiation between the schools.
Yeah, the whole mutualisation idea of politics really was one of the key points I thought interesting in what the Tory manifesto launch was this week. Mm. So I'm not sure how our friends at Lambeth Labour thought when they were being compared to David Cameron's Tories, but there didn't seem to be much difference. Housing as well. How do you feel about Keith Hill, the retiring MP for Streatham, taking over as being the new head of Lambeth Living? Is that the solution to sorting out the housing mess? So out of Westminster and then being rewarded with a top housing job.
To use a colloquialism, you've just gobsmacked me there, Jason. I didn't know that.
I've been gobsmacked for a number of months. I'm not sure what the selection process was. I'm sure the Honourable Keith Hill, who has been using his parliamentary privilege in the best ways that he can to try and leave a parting shot against the Lib Dem candidate in Streatham. But yeah, when he steps down in a few weeks' time, he's walking straight into the new role as the Chief Executive of Lambeth Living.
I think it's disgraceful.
I'm sure he will have an awful lot on his plate. I think that the first thing he needs to sort out is the £500 an hour consultant fees. Mm. But do you think people in Lambeth will be served well by having a retiring MP who has got this Labour background sorting out the housing situation for them?
No. And in fact, one of our policies is designed to cut through all the rubbish about MPs and their expenses, and they're going, making sure they've got second jobs and retiring into lucrative jobs in the city, or in this case, in the semi-privatised sector of delivering local provision. It's completely wrong. If I am elected, I promise to accept the pay of an average worker, 25,000, and the rest of the money I will donate to local causes and local organisations that are fighting for a fair deal for the people of Vauxhall. It is outrageous that there is this gravy train, you know, which, yeah, everybody knows about Tony Blair, but it obviously, you know, happens at every single level. In fact, down to councillor level as well, when you think of councillors who for decades have been moving from the council chamber to the CEO's office, and it's wrong.
Mm. Is there any confusion, Jeremy? Is it worth kind of clarifying, really? An anti-capitalist ticket is going to work for some people. Is there not some contradiction in terms of, does anti-capitalism equal anti-economy? Because people need to work, people need jobs. That is the glue of society. Is that something which you're against, anti-economy?
We're not against jobs and we're not against economy. We firmly believe that, in fact, if you ran the economy not for the private profit of a tiny handful of people, but you ran the economy for the benefit of the vast majority of humanity, that in fact you would see people's dedication, eagerness to improve the work that they're doing, cooperation between people so that they can share knowledge, share research and development. In fact, there'd be a massive boost to the economy. Now, the reason why that can't happen, it seems so simple, is an age-old reason, which is that the rich and the powerful do not want to give up their privileges, you know, easily, without a fight. And that's why we've always said, you know, that we're standing in this election to give people a chance to get a representation or, you know, that would actually mirror their own aspirations, but also that elections are only a tactic in the fight for a fairer world, you know. And in fact, it isn't even the major tactic. The major tactic and what we want to put on the ground in Vauxhall is people being organised as a community to fight for decent housing, jobs for all, college places. We haven't talked yet about the fact that Lambeth College over the road from here is implementing £3.5 million cuts this year, you know, with no sort of not even telling the workforce a few months ago until recently that they were going to do that, let alone the school kids who are, you know, leaving. School leaving age is going to rise to 17, and where are they going to go? So, you know, they need fighting organisations in order to help there.
Okay, if we could maybe wrap up, Jeremy. As kind of with most politicians, they like to talk about their own kind of personal background and their own family environment and why you should vote for them. But I think it's only fair to ask you. So can we ask about your own background here in Lambeth and what you've been involved in politically? And what is your commitment to the borough, please, or to the constituency?
Yeah, I've lived locally here since 1998. And I'm very committed to the area. I love being back in London. When I was first in London as a student, I loved it then, and I thought, you know, I love being around African Caribbean people, but coming back and finding so many more cultures around, particularly here in South London, and actually it's a haven of non-racism or anti-racism compared with some parts of Britain. So I do love it here. I've worked as a journalist, and more recently, in the last couple of years, I've thoroughly enjoyed moving to education. I'm a teaching assistant at a local secondary school, which gives me a great pleasure and ability to sort of find out more about the local youth and helping them get on. But my background is also as a trade unionist. When I was a student in Canada, I'd read some books by Karl Marx and Leon Trotsky, and then suddenly I was in a situation of a general strike and got involved there. When I moved back to Britain, got involved in the miners' strike, the poll tax rebellion, the anti-capitalist movement. So, you know, this is a new experience for me, but I see it as a continuum of that kind of experience, not as a career at all, but as a kind of activist orientation. That's what sort of keeps me alive. But recently, I've been involved in the campaign to try and stop the privatisation of the Ashmole estate. Made some good friends there. Loved doing it. We lost very narrowly, but the council and Metropolitan put in millions of pounds, you know, of propaganda to try and persuade people to go private. And the fact that we lost by only a few hundred votes, I think, was a good deal there. I've been involved in the local Keep the NHS Public campaign, which tried to stop the privatisation of GP surgeries through the polyclinics in Myattsfield North and Myattsfield South.
And you're also online as well. We should mention.
Oh yes, I should.
So if people want to follow you on Twitter, your Twitter name, please, Jeremy, is
Vote Drinkle,
or is it Vote for Drinkle?
No,
or
just Vote Drinkle. Drinkle.
So DRINKALL. And your blog or your website address is
Drinkle for Vauxhall.
That is the four.
Figure four there. Yeah, Drinkle for Vauxhall. blogspot.com.
Yeah, and I shall link to both your Twitter account and your blog when I publish this audio piece and put it on my blog as well.
Thanks very much, Jason.
So yeah, just really a summary. So this is Jeremy Drinkle. It's been very, very kind to have some time with you. And Jeremy is standing in Vauxhall for the Anti-Capitalist Party, which is, as we explained, a new movement. And this is really an opportunity for your party to perhaps find out who else is out there who's got the same broad views as you and to take it further. So you're standing against Kate Hoey and Caroline Pidgeon for the Lib Dems, and the Tory guy, we can never quite remember who, and Joseph Healy, who is the Green Left figure. Okay, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jason.